the content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is My Dinosaur is Scared of Vegetables by Lily Lexington. Jack in the closet was hiding from Mum. His dinosaur whimpered and sucked on his thumb. It was time for their dinner, and there was no way they'd ever eat their vegetables. Not on this day. Jack, come out. It's time for your dinner. Who can eat faster? I bet you're the winner. Mom, I'm afraid I have to stay here. My dinosaur's shaking and trembling with fear. He's frightened of carrots and broccoli and peas. Beetroots and squash cause the poor beast to sneeze. They will destroy him with one single bite. That is the reason he stays out of sight. Well, I see, said Jack's mother. I guess then instead, your dinosaur promptly must go straight to bed. There he will be so much further away from the vegetable dishes we're eating today. Jack, feeling angry, decided right then to go to his room with his dinosaur friend. He stomped up the stairs and then slammed his door. I don't even care if I eat any more. I can still play, and I can have fun. I don't need those veggies to be number one. So there the dinosaur and Jack go right to bed, even though they haven't had any dinner yet. The very next morning, Jack happily said, today is a great day to get out of bed. A cool game like baseball is always such fun. I almost can't wait till I hit a home run. The dinosaur followed Jack into the kitchen, where they both realized that something was missing. Where is my breakfast? Jack noisily said. 'Cause there on the table sat the veggies instead. His dinosaur ran to the family room table and hid underneath it as best he was able. Jack, you will eat all those vegetables now, his mother exclaimed as he put his head down. But Jack turned around and said, there's no way. My dinosaur is still scared of veggies, okay? And there's his dinosaur friend trying to hide under the table, and the table is so little, and the dinosaur is so big, that the little table is sitting right on top of the dinosaur's back. There's no way he's hiding under there. They got in the car and drove to the park. The dinosaur jumped when he heard a dog bark. Jack's mom ignored him. Her face wore a frown. While Jack got his gear on, she sat on the ground. Jack's dino was tired. He got up and yawned, then sat on the bench at the side of the lawn. The game soon began with Jack up to bat. He swung, strike one, and adjusted his hat. Another, strike two. Jack missed the ball. Jack was not swinging his bat well at all. The third pitch then came, and Jack swung at the ball. Three strikes, you're out, came the umpire's call. Out to the field the players had run, but Jack, of course, was having no fun. His dinosaur snoozed, his eyes tired and bleary. Jack stood midfield feeling heavy and weary. The ball flew towards him. He went for the catch, but he tripped and he fell, and he lost the whole match. The game was now ended, but Jack didn't know why he was so tired and being so slow. His dinosaur nudged him as if he should say, I'm terribly sorry you've had such a bad day. Jack's mother bundled them into the car, and as soon as they were home, as the park wasn't far, Jack smiled kindly. Jack, may I please talk with your dinosaur out by the trees? So Jack waited patiently, too tired to walk, while Dino and Mom had a serious talk. We've had a good chat, and we need you to know that we figured out why today you were so slow. The dinosaur smiled as Jack's mother explained. Vitamins stop you from feeling so drained. Jack wrinkled his brow. I don't understand. Are vitamins magic? And he held out his hand. Mom put a carrot right into Jack's palm. And to his surprise, his dino stayed calm. Vegetables help you to stay fast and strong. Your dinosaur knows he was terribly wrong. He's no longer frightened and trembling, you see. He's even agreed to try broccoli and peas. Jack took a bite from the carrot and said, This isn't half bad, and he bit off its head. From that day on, the best friends knew that eating their vegetables was something they would do. To stay strong and healthy in every which way, they would eat their vegetables every single day. And that is the end of My Dinosaur is Scared of Vegetables. That's a really good book, and that just goes to show we all should eat our vegetables, shouldn't we? The next book is Llama Llama, Mrs. Mama by Anna Dudney. And this is about the little llama, who some of you might have heard the story of Llama Llama Red Pajama. This is the same little llama. Llama Llama, warm in bed. Wakey, wakey, sleepyhead. Llama, school begins today. Time to learn and time to play. Make the bed and find some clothes. Brush the teeth and blow the nose. Eat some breakfast. Clean the plate. Oops, oh my, we're running late, said Mama. Drive to school and park the car. Tell the teacher who you are. Meet new faces. Hear new names. See new places. Watch new games. Hang the coat and say goodbye. Llama, llama, feeling shy. Mama, llama goes away, but llama, llama has to stay. Strange new teacher, strange new toys. Lots of kids and lots of noise. What would llama like to do? Llama, llama feels so new. Build a castle out of blocks. Make a rocket from a box. Llama Llama shakes his head. Llama Llama walks away instead. Oh, poor llama. Here's a little chug-a-choo with a captain and a crew. Would the llama like a ride? But Llama Llama tries to hide. And there are some of his new friends riding a little train around the classroom. They're having such a good time. Reading stories on the rug. Kids are cuddled, sitting snug. Would the llama like to look? Llama Llama hates that book. Time for lunch. Now find a seat. Llama doesn't want to eat. Llama makes a little moan. Llama Llama feels alone. Llama misses Mama so. Why did Mama Llama go? Poor little llama. It's too much for little llama. Llama Llama misses Mama. And there he is crying as he sits in front of his lunch. And all the kids look worried because he's not having any fun. Don't be sad, new little llama. It's okay to miss your mama. But don't forget, when day is through, she will come right back to you. Llama, llama, please don't fuss. Have some fun and play with us, say the other kids. Put on coats and run outside. See, the playhouse. Try the slide. Tag and jump rope, hide and seek. Close your eyes and do not peek. I think little llama's starting to have fun, don't you? Now it's time to draw and write. Great big colors, great big crayons, colors bright. take some paper from the stack. Mama, Mama, you came back. And there's his mama come back to get him. Teacher gets a goodbye hug. Wave to friends on the reading rug. Climb the playhouse with the slide. See if Mama fits inside. And she does. Lots to show and lots to say. Back again another day. Mama finds out something new. He loves Mama. And what do you think this next page says? And school too. So he decided that he likes school after all. And he just might go back the next day. And that is the end of that book. Our next book is called Fancy Nancy, Hair Do's and Hair Don'ts by Jane O'Connor. Do not forget, tomorrow is Picture Day, Mrs. Glass reminds us. Reminding is a fancy word for making us remember something. I also have a surprise for you. Ooh, ooh, what is it? Asked Clara. If I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise, said Miss Glass, and you will find out tomorrow. Goodbye, I say to Miss Glass. She didn't need to remind me about Picture Day. It's just about the most important day of the school. Weeks ago, I put a circle around the day on my calendar. Weeks ago, I picked out my outfit. Outfit is fancy for clothes. I will wear my pink shirt with ruffles, my purple skirt with ruffles, my pink and purple socks with ruffles, and ruffles make anything fancy. After dinner, I read my library book. It is about Amelia Earhart. She was a brave airplane pilot. Amelia was not fancy, but I still like how she looks. Her hair, most of all. Her hairstyle is called a bob. Then it hits me. I have not decided on my hairstyle for Picture Day. My hair is curly, so I can wear it in many flattering ways. Flattering is fancy for pretty. Maybe I will wear my hair in pigtails. Maybe I should wear my hair in a bun. Maybe I should wear my hair long and loose. Just then Bree calls. She describes her outfit for Pictures Day. Describe means something to tell about. Then she says, my mom braided my hair and put in new beads. Oh, how elegant, I tell her. Elegant is fancy for fancy. Maybe I will wear cornrows like Bree. But Mom does not have time to make lots and lots of braids, and Daddy is not a good braider. Later, I read more of my book. Then it hits me. I will wear my hair like Amelia Earhart. Ooh la la. That will be perfect for Picture Day. Amelia's hair was shorter than mine, but I can trim my hair. I snip a little here and I snip a little back there. I snip in the back and I snip in the front for bangs. My bangs are crooked, so I snip some more. Trimming hair is very complicated. Complicated is the opposite of easy. I am still snipping when Mom comes into my room. Nancy, what are you doing? Scissors are only for cutting paper, and that is a Clancy family rule. I'm sorry, really I am. I just wanted my hair to look perfect for Pictures Day, I said. But it looks horrible. Mom tries her best to help. There, now your hair looks fine. She is trying to comfort me. That's fancy for making me feel better. I can't go to school tomorrow. I can't be in that picture, I say. but Mom says you are not missing school because of your hair. The next morning I come into class. I am wearing my fancy outfit. I have tied a scarf around my head. It does not look fancy. It looks odd, which is fancy for strange. Soon it is time for the picture. Lionel and Bree are next to me. I wish I were invisible. Mrs. Glass says, "You all look wonderful. Now I will show you the surprise." And she has caps for us. All the caps say, "Mrs. Glass's stars." "Do you want to wear the caps for the picture?" Mrs. Glass asked. "Yes," we shout. I shout louder than anyone. Quickly, I unwrap my scarf and put on the cap. I do not look odd anymore. I look almost normal. 1, 2, 3, and we all say cheese. And for the moment, and that's fancy for right now, I look picture perfect. P.S. I hope I have fast-growing hair. And that's the end of Fancy Nancy and Hair Do's and Hair Don'ts. Our next story is about Daniel Tiger. If you've seen Daniel Tiger on TV, you'll know who I'm talking about. And the story we're going to read is Daniel Goes to School. It's another story about going to school. "Hi, neighbor, it's time for school," says Daniel Tiger. "I've got my backpack, I've got my lunchbox, and..." "You've got me," said Dad, opening the front door. "Now, let's get you to school." "Please take us to school, trolley," said Daniel, as he and Dad hopped aboard. "Ding, ding," said trolley. "We're going to school today. Won't you ride along with me?" "Ride along," sang Daniel. When they arrived at school, Daniel pulled Dad into the classroom. "Come on, Dad, let's go build with blocks." But Dad just stopped. "I would love to build blocks with you," said Dad, "but I have to go to work." "Are you sure?" Daniel asked. "Maybe work is closed today." Dad Tiger shook his head. "I don't think so, Daniel," he said. "It's time for me to go." Daniel was sad. "I don't want you to go. I want you to stay and be with me." "I want to stay too, Daniel," said Dad. "But all your friends are here, and Teacher Harriet will take good care of you. And at the end of the day, I will come back and pick you up, because grown-ups come back." "Grown-ups come back," repeated Daniel. He gave Dad a hug goodbye. "Ugga-mugga." "Ugga-mugga," said Dad, and I think that means that there they are rubbing noses together when they say ugga-mugga to each other. That's their private code. Teacher Harriet gently led Daniel to the art table. "Let's see what your friends are doing." Prince Wednesday was drawing a picture of his dad, King Friday. "My dad's at work being the boss of his castle stuff," he said. "My mom is at work, too. I miss her," said Miss Elena. "But look, I have her picture in my necklace to remind me that she'll come back to get me." Daniel picked up a crayon. "I want to have a picture of my dad, too. I'm going to draw us in a rocket ship blasting off to the moon." Daniel imagined that he and Dad were really blasting off to the moon. Whoosh! And Daniel's tiger has a rocket ship, and his dad coming out of one window, and Daniel Tiger waving out another window, and there they go, past the stars, up to the moon. "Come to the rug for circle time," called Teacher Harriet, and everyone skipped over to the rug. Everyone except Miss Elena. Where was Miss Elena? Suddenly Daniel heard, "Oh no, oh no, oh no, it was Miss Elena." "I can't find the picture of my mommy," Miss Elena sniffled. "If I don't have my picture, how do I know my mommy will come back and get me?" Daniel put his arm around Miss Elena. "Your mommy will come back and get you," he said. My dad always says, grown-ups come back.
We can help you find your necklace, suggested Prince Wednesday. The whole class began to look.
They looked high, they looked low, they even looked backwards.
Well, Miss Elena did.
Until... I found it, hooted O the Owl, picking the necklace up off the ground.
Thank you, O, said Miss Elena happily.
Owls are excellent lookers, said O the Owl.
Owls are excellent friends, too, added Teacher Harriet.
Teacher Harriet looked at the clock.
We spent circle time looking for Miss Elena's necklace, she said.
It's lunchtime now.
Miss Elena, would you like to be my lunch helper today?
Okay, replied Miss Elena.
At the table, Miss Elena passed out the lunch boxes to her friends. As everyone munched on their food, there was a knock at the door.
Who could it be?
It was the grown-ups.
All the grown-ups came back, said Miss Elena. She was so happy.
Daniel ran over to his dad.
You came back.
Well, of course I did, replied Dad.
Can we go build blocks now, said Daniel.
I've been waiting all day, Dad answered, smiling.
And so all the mums and dads did come back for their kids, didn't they?
This story is called The Letter, from a book called Frog and Toad Are Friends, written by Arnold Lobel. Toad was sitting on his front porch. Frog came along and said,
What is the matter, Toad? You are looking so sad.
Yes, said Toad, this is my very sad time of day. It is the time when I wait for the mail to come. It always makes me very unhappy.
Well, why is that? Asked the frog.
Because I never get any mail, said Toad.
Not ever? Asked Frog.
No, never, said Toad.
Every day, no one has ever sent me a letter. Every day my mailbox is empty. That is why waiting for the mail is such a sad time for me.
Frog and Toad sat on the porch, feeling sad together.
And then Frog said, I have to go home now, Toad. There is something that I must do.
Frog hurried home. He found a pencil and a piece of paper. He wrote on the paper and he put the paper in an envelope. On the envelope he wrote, A letter for Toad.
Frog ran out of his house.
He saw a snail that he knew.
Snail, said Frog, please take this letter to Toad's house and put it in his mailbox.
Sure, said the snail, right away.
And then Frog ran back to Toad's house.
Toad was in bed taking a nap.
Toad, said Frog, I think you should get up and wait for the mail some more.
No, said Toad, I am tired of waiting for the mail.
Frog looked out the window at the Toad's mailbox.
The snail was not there yet.
Toad, said Frog, you never know when someone may send you a letter.
No, no, said Toad, I do not think anyone will ever send me a letter.
Frog looked out of the window. The snail was not there yet.
But Toad, said Frog, someone may send you a letter today.
Don't be silly, said Toad, no one has ever sent me a letter before, and no one will send me a letter today.
Frog looked out the window. The snail was still not there.
Frog, why do you keep looking out the window? Asked Toad.
Because now I am waiting for the mail, said Frog.
But there won't be any,
said Toad. Oh, yes, there will, said Frog, because I sent you a letter.
You have, said Toad.
Did you write in the letter?
What did you write in the letter?
Frog said, I wrote, Dear Toad, I am so glad that you are my best friend.
Oh, said Toad, that makes a very good letter.
And then Frog and Toad went out onto the front porch to wait for the mail.
They sat there,
feeling happy together. Frog and Toad waited for a long time. 4 days later, the snail got to Toad's house and gave him the letter from Frog. Toad was very pleased to have it. Well, the reason that letter never came until 4 days later, because Frog asked a snail to bring the letter. And you know snails are very slow walkers. They don't move fast at all, do they? And still, even though Frog had told Toad he had a letter and it wasn't a surprise, Toad was still so happy to get a letter from his best friend. And now, to finish off today, we're going to read some poems called nursery rhymes. Some of these you might know already, and some of them you might never have heard. This one is called Little Bo Peep. Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home, wagging their tails behind them. And there they are, right behind her, and she hasn't even noticed yet. Here's another very famous one. Ba, ba, black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, 3 bags full. One for my master, and one for my dame, and one for the little boy who lives down the lane. And here's another one. This is fun, and you might know this already. Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider who sat down beside her and frightened Miss Muffet away. Uh-oh, she ran off and dropped her curds and whey. Curds is the same thing as yogurt. And this is a very nice little poem. I love little kitty. Her coat is so warm. And if I don't hurt her, she'll do me no harm. So I'll not pull her tail or drive her away, but Kitty and I will very gently play. She will sit by my side, and I'll give her some food, and Kitty will love me because I am good. This one is a little cute little rhyme about a poor leaf clover. One leaf for fame, one leaf for wealth, one for a faithful lover, and one leaf to bring glorious health. All are in a four-leaf clover. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.